That may be how the Smith chart would show. It's probably not correct to say that it's leakage. As I described RF, it leaves the back of your radio. It goes over your transmission line. And in the best of all worlds, it will all radiate. You get the best efficiency and performance for the power you put in. It all goes out, as you would wish it to. That is not the real world. The real world, there are so many things happening there that it's almost a miracle that it happens at all. The more you know about it, the more you stand there in wonder that it happens at all. Well, the reality is that some will radiate. All the dependencies, you're aware of many of them. One of them is that, as I said, RF is alternating current. It goes up to the antenna. If it isn't all radiated, it comes back. And there can be many reasons why it won't radiate. How can you keep it from coming back into the shack, into the back of your radio, and perhaps doing damage? Well, there's really not a great deal that returns, but enough does return to make those. It can make, in the past, people have used microphones with metal housings. And, you know, some people get right into a microphone, and they get a burn on their lips because they've allowed it to touch the microphone, or they touch the metal casing of their rig, and they get a shock. An RF burn is different than burn from a flame or a hot stove or anything like that. It takes a long time to heal. It does a lot of subdermal damage. It's best just to keep the RF out there. And that's why a one-to-one choke balance transformer right on the feed line. It's incorporated right into the in series with the feed line. And it will keep that RF from coming back into the shack. Well, where does it go then? Well, some of it's heat. Energy only transforms. It can never be destroyed. If you remember, oh, I forget whose law it is. Newton, probably. But what a choke does is it forces it to go back again to the antenna. Some of it might radiate. If any comes back, the choke keeps it from coming into the shack and it goes back out the antenna. So it increases your efficiency and it keeps the RF out. It's a good thing to have a choke transformer just as your feed line comes into the house. That's a good place to put it. Some people put it a quarter wavelength into the feed line itself. It allows all the energy to go one way and keeps it from coming back. Forces it to go back to the antenna. Some of it might radiate.
The old man on the mountain mad at you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't think we're still in, I think we're still in net mode. If you're hearing anything when I, this is my radio. I have a timeout timer on my radio because I do talk. Remember, my suffix is JBQ, just be quiet. when entering this hobby, many people decide for good reasons, you know. Maybe they're bashful, or maybe they don't feel like they have a lot to say. But they decide to listen, and this is good. You probably should listen 90% of the time and transmit only 10% of the time, but then somebody like me talks more than half the time. KK4JBQ.
NNH Mobile. Yeah, gentlemen, I can actually test that one. I've actually been sitting here listening for y'all since at least 10 minutes now. I just got back to my mobile mobiling along 25 right now on my way to my Elmer's, but yeah, I can definitely test that though. I listen 90% of the time and 10% transit. That's pretty much what I do beyond, at least on VHF. I can't say the same thing for HF right now.
Thank you. It is in the beginning, of course. It's most efficient to listen. You learn a lot more by listening. That's why the Creator gave us two ears and only one mouth. That's how I've heard it.
That's an interesting comment, Larry. I never thought of it that way. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, and KO4NNH for station ID. Yeah, that's two ears and one mouth. Sometimes I get that backwards.
Well, so I heard Anna check in separately. I'm glad that Anna's participating in the hobby. I don't know if I ever told you, but my wife studied for her tech exam and passed. Of course, she's quite a bright lady. But it was only, as it turned out, it was only because she wanted her father's call sign. Her father was my Elmer and introduced me to the hobby. So I check her in each night. It's appropriate, but she's really not that active. So it's amazing to me and a really great thing to see Anna take part. That's all I wanted to say.
It's quite interesting, as a matter of fact, to see her get ready to do the net control, because we usually follow along during the night as net controllers do their net and just make sure we get the same count they do, and it's just practice. But I am the type of person where I need everything laid out in order, and everything's nice and neat. I need to have the right pen, the right piece of paper, and total silence so I can focus on what needs to happen. She is not like that. It is not so organized. It's organized her way, let me put it that way. And she listens to the calls come in, and she is steady talking. Well, he's from blah, 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 and this is how I remember his call sign, and blah, this, that, and other, while she's writing. And I sometimes sit back and go, I cannot believe, I cannot imagine how she processes things, but man, she's good at it. I don't know how she does it, but it's just, I see it as chaos, but when she's done, it's right on. KO4NNH, you still in there, Fred?
I'm still here. KO4NNH for station ID. Honestly, I can attest to that. I actually don't, I'm not like NRU chat. I actually sit here like, y'all know I'm not a net controller or anything, but I actually work on robots for a living, and man, let me tell you, there's one bad habit I keep enforcing, that's just talking to myself. That's how I keep myself organized, and man, let me tell you what, I got nothing but notes on me, and I always talk to myself, constantly just bouncing ideas off myself. It's just the way I've always done things, but yeah, I can definitely test that with the organization thing.
And I don't want to let the opportunities slip me here. There's a difference in the way women think and the way men think. There's a physiological difference. The physics of the brain, the biological difference between a woman's brain and a man's brain it's been known for quite a while. Our thinking processes demand that the brain, the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain, which usually have different functions, but where language is concerned, where things like writing is concerned, both sides, there's activity in both sides of the brain. Now, who do you think has more crossover networks? The women. Women have twice the number of crossover networking between the left brain and the right brain. So they're more efficient. And it results in a different way of thinking, a different capacity, perhaps, to think. I think us who have a lesser brain should respect that. KK4JBQ.
Amen. I don't know any other way to say it is that we're just polar opposites in that I just do. Sometimes I don't know why I do or why I go the direction I go. It is just, we need to be moving, and it doesn't matter if it's productive. Let's just move, or let's just do, and we'll figure it out on the way. But she just amazes me sometimes. She's just not that way, and I just, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. But Larry and Fred, there's one other thing I want to share with you. I'm going to change gears here. And I'll encourage you to go to the repeater recordings and listen to an exchange that happened on the radio yesterday with me and another guy at around 12 noon. And I just want to share that experience with you because it was an amazing experience for me. So let me let this repeater drop and I'll be right back. To the deer camp yesterday and had to pick up some equipment up there on the farm. And I was leaving Pickens, and I got at the red light in Pickens on Main Street, had the radio on, and there was a call that came over the repeater. I've got it written down. I think it was YZ4G. He says, he did not give his call. He said, "My name is Herb. I'm a World War II veteran, and I turned 100 years old today." And so I came back with the call, trying to get the call sign out of him. And come to find out, long story short, he was on the destroyer in World War II, DD-410, which was it wasn't a USS, it was a Sims-class Hughes hotel uniform golf hotel Echo Sierra is how you spell it. And he was suffering from dementia. He has been a ham radio operator for 80 years. And his daughter was in the ham shack with him, helping him with the radio. And I stayed with him for a complete hour and 10 minutes on the way home. And I'm not going to get into, you know, what we shared or what we talked about. You're welcome to go listen to the recording. But I'm going to tell you, that was an absolutely amazing experience for me to listen to that man talk about, even with his dementia. It was just an absolutely amazing experience. It got me just choked up. And I came and wrote in my journal and in my notes about it, and me and Anna listened to the recording some and listened to his amazing story, and it was just, it was something else, just something else. I could not believe it.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing, man. Wow. Jared, honestly, you left me speechless there, man. My grandfather, he served in the Vietnam War. I can only imagine what he saw, but a World War II veteran, man. Wow, that is just, that's awesome. I'm going to have to get that recording to listen. Thanks for sharing that.
Chad, that's quite something. There are fewer and fewer Vietnam vets as time moves on. We lose a few of them every day, of course. As far as dementia goes, I am acquainted with it. My father was, if dementia can kill you, it killed him. It took him little by little. He was reduced to activities you might imagine a three-year-old being involved in. And didn't remember much, but what he did remember, and before I go there, Donna's mother, my wife's mother, also suffered from dementia. She was in her 90s when she passed. My dad was only in his early 80s. But my experience with both of them is that it's easier for them, and it's to remember the past, the distant past, when they were a child, when they were a young adult. Recent events are, there's just no place to put them. There's not the usual fading of older memories into the deeper recesses of your mind, and what you did this afternoon is clearer to you. It's just the reverse with someone with dementia. Of course, there's a lot of other phenomena as well. There's no room or time for that discussion here on the air, but I had the opportunity some number of years back, maybe over 35, 40 years ago, to speak with a lady. She was elderly at the time, but she was a passenger on the Titanic, 1912. Her husband did not make it back, but she did. And she kept me riveted for about 3 hours one evening with the story of their romance, their, of course, booking the Titanic, what happened among the passengers when it was known that the ship had been struck. So if you are lucky enough to share in memories like that directly from someone who has experienced it, that's a real blessing. KK4JPQ.
KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, KO4NNH, station ID. So, if you have time, I'm trying to figure out politely how to word it. If you have time, listening to that would be quite an experience. He made a comment in the beginning of the conversation that you could tell he was struggling mentally. And he made a comment that I think I may have to give up my license because something is wrong with my mind. And I just told him, I said, look, you have the license. You just push the button. And you just talk. That's all you need to do is just talk. And I could hear his daughter in the background. At the end of the conversation, she gave me her email address and telephone number, and I made contact with her and him. but it was just an honor to even hear his story. Some of it was pretty maybe not so appropriate for a 2-meter repeater, but this man's mind was struggling, and he was telling another veteran what he had experienced. And like I said, it was shocking. There was a couple of minutes I could not talk from just trying to imagine. But one thing that I got out of it was that some of his conversation, there was a point in time where I thought, okay, this is not making a whole lot of sense here. But his boat, his ship, destroyer, was hit by a kamikaze aircraft. He explained that whole experience in detail. The ship was sent back for repair and escorted the Yorktown or something like that during in the Philippines in the last battles. Let me let the repeater cycle, Larry. He made a statement that at the end, and he was unsure about what he was telling me, but in the end, they dropped a bomb on my ship, and we stayed around for a couple of days, and after the ship was destroyed, and went back home, and well, I got to Seattle, I believe it was, he said. I believe it was Seattle. And then I went home, and it was over. And so I came back and did some research on what the guy was telling me. His ship, it was documented. Everything he went through was documented, and it was part of Operation Crossroads, which was the hydrogen bomb testing in the Bikini Atolls. And I don't know. It was an experience for me to be able to talk with somebody like that and to make contact with him and talk with him on the telephone even. Just very interesting. So we're going to arrange a visit, and I'm going to go visit with him. But he resides in Pickens now. And I think his daughter's caring for him, which was really, really nice. And it was just a real honor and pleasure. Fred, if he's still in there, go ahead and pick it up.
NH Mobile for station ID. Yeah, wow, that's... Holy cow. Chad, honestly, you left me speechless, man. Holy cow. I don't even know what to say, but... One thing's for certain, I'm definitely going to give that log a listen, and... I'm definitely going to share his story. I feel like that's something I need to do. Just share his story. Share the stories of everybody that's, you know, come and gone. And honestly, if he thinks his mindset's not there, I'm not saying he shouldn't broadcast, but I think he should stay in the hobby. There's a lot of people just like him out there, especially in the hobby. I bet I've talked to people on Fusion and DMR, and... Man, let me tell you, some of the stories I've heard are absolutely crazy, man, from all across the world, talking on Fusion and DMR. But, yeah, honestly, I don't think he should drop the hobby. I think he should just push the button and talk, you know? But cause there's a lot of people, like I said, on that, especially on DMR. Good Lord, on DMR. But, wow, I'm definitely going to ask you that log to listen, Chad. Thanks for sharing the experience, man.
Start yesterday, I think the recording is at 12:36, and you'll have to move, I think, around 11 minutes into other people talking before that picks up. But it's right around an hour or so. He stayed with me the whole time. And some point in time during the conversation, he would say what he wanted to say, and then he would say, okay, well, bye. And, you know, you could just tell that, you know, he was struggling a little bit. But, at any rate, I don't want to get all weird and all, but I just, that was an experience for me to be able to, now I get to go visit with the guy and meet him face to face, and that's just, you know, an absolute dream for me, you know. But coincidentally, I came back and found a website called hullnumber.com where all the ships that were involved in World War II, you can click on the hull number and submit your DD214 if you were a ship member, if you were a ship on that ship, and that organization will connect you with your shipmates from World War II and supply you with an email address so that you can make contact with them. So I contacted the daughter and told her that, but she knew that already. But check it out. It was quite an experience, and I just took great pleasure in that. And I don't know, it just struck me different, you know. Go ahead and pick it up, Larry.
Okay, 4JPQ. How is it that you listen to a recording, Jeff?
You type in BRARS, NetOps. I think it's NetOps, Larry. I tell you what, you go ahead and pick it up. I'll give you the exact address you can go to, because the repeater keeps recording of, you know, all the conversations during the day, I guess for testing purposes or whatever, and you can go back and listen to those. And if you give me just a minute, I'll get that information for you. I've got it written down in my log somewhere. I'll just have to find it, but go ahead and pick it up while I'm looking.
I knew Dave was doing this recording. I thought he was doing it for, maintenance purposes. I didn't know that it was available to the rest. And just in case he wants to keep it in a tight loop, just send the link to me, to my email address, and we'll keep it we'll keep it close that way. Oh, wow, this conversation has it's been a little bit of a miracle for me to hear you two speak of your experiences, and then to a third person, a genuine bona fide hero, I'm quite certain, who's at the end of life and struggling at the end. He still deserves all the honor and respect that we can afford. KK4JBQ.
Station ID. That's amen to that, Larry. It's been one of those experiences that I would have never thought I ever had, especially over amateur radio. This is, wow, that's amazing. Chad, I'm gonna shoot you, I'm gonna look you up on QRZ. I'm gonna shoot you an email. My email is actually good on QRZ as well, if you want to see it, but I'm gonna shoot you an email and see if you can get me to send that link as well. I'm actually in the mobile right now, so I can't sit down and take notes like I normally will be able to. But wow, gentlemen, this has been an experience. But unfortunately, I'm actually near my I'm getting close to a my Elmer's location, and my radio does not like me trying to even transmit, especially during the night for some reason, at least the night area. So gentlemen, let me go and clear out. This has been KO4 NNH 73 Larry 73 Chad. Hope you two have a great night. I'll be KO4 NNH. I'll be clear.
sir, you have a wonderful night. It's been a pleasure talking to you. KO4NUE, and I'll be clear with you.
For NNH, have yourself a good evening. KK4JBQ.
I guess, Larry, just KO4NUE station ID, just also want to let you know we lost her father 3 years ago to dementia. Took my father off, and that's just a awful disease. I mean, just awful. And you can't even remember your own children, and I just, you know, that was very hard, very hard. So. Yeah, I get it. I do. We've been through it, and I understand.
Yeah, Chad. Because as I've said before, we don't know who might be listening to these to our conversation, and that's as it should be. We should be aware of that, and a bit guarded at times. But this is not a time, and we're not discussing anything that should be guarded. I will tell you how it was with my dad. I was raised in Tennessee, and of course that's where they lived, both my mom and my dad. They passed within 3 weeks of one another. My mom to a brain tumor, and my dad fell into a coma. It was described as a deep brain thrombosis. He suffered quite a bit. But I had some time that I'm very thankful for. I came home after a trip from Greenville over to Northeast Tennessee. I walked into the... nobody ever went through the front door. They always came back around by the kitchen. And that's how we left and entered the home. So I walked in, and my mother was there to greet me, and Dad was in the living room. I went in to say hello, and Mom took me by the arm, and she says, "Just a minute, you need to know something." So I wouldn't find my dad as I had known him before, and she explained that he was having a hard day. So I sat down with him across from him, and in that one conversation, because of his dementia and his inability to reconcile his memories with who he was talking to, I became different characters from his life. I was first his father, and then one and another of his brothers. It was finally, I had had no training and no experience with this, but my gut told me not to take issue with anything he said, but just play along. Just respond as maybe I would understand these other individuals would. And he talked to me just like he would talk to his dad or his brothers. It was hardest when he talked to me like he was seeing me as his mother. I knew then that there was, he had gone off a really critical ledge. And later that evening, he came back around to himself, and he saw me as me. And he walked up to me, and he says, in tears, he said, "Have I been a good father to you?" And I had to say to him, after lurching forward and grabbing him in the biggest hug I could manage, I said, "Dad, you've just been perfect." So if anyone out there is listening and someone is touched by this disease, be with them in any capacity that you can. KK4JBQ.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, I got a little bit different perspective in that I got to see my wife struggle with her father, and it was a long battle. I think it was around 5 years, I think, until he eventually passed. But it affects not only him, but it affects the family deeply, because, you know, that's my father, and he can't remember who I am, and it was just tough at times as a husband to, you know, to be there for her as she, you know, her and her sister cared for him through that process, and it was tough and it was hard. And you're right. If anybody out there that's listening, they're going through that, it's been my experience is that as tough as that is, just be and share with them in their moment, and you have to put your feelings aside. And sometimes that is very difficult to do, as I watch my wife struggle with that. But here's what happens, is that when that season is over, there's no regrets. You are able to sit and say, hey, I enjoyed and shared and was a part of whatever part I needed to play that day. And that's a lot better than saying, well, it's nice to be able for me to watch my wife say, hey, I got to share when it was hard too. And one thing I remember her telling me that struck me that I never realized was that, you know, Dad cared for us and raised us along with her mother, and it was our turn. It was her turn to pay that forward. And I never thought about it that way, but it was amazing to watch her brothers and sisters come around that situation and just try their best to be a part of that, as difficult as it was, and for them to have no regrets after that season passed was taking a bad situation and making the best out of it. And boy, that is just so key. Is one thing I've learned in my short life is that, man, it's so important to just take the bad things and make them the best you can. And it was amazing to see her go through that, and I was glad to be a part of, you know, be her husband in that process. And it was just she just taught me a lot.
JBQ. Chad, you know, there are moments in this life you didn't see it coming. You didn't know that you would be afforded one of the greatest opportunities that human beings are allowed to have. I felt that way when attending to my dad. I would help him shave. I even gave him a haircut once. And understand, this is, you know, the man who raised me, the pillar of the family, the man who could, he grew up hard and dirt poor. And they would cut cut wood out of the forest and carry it home on their shoulders and carry it to the sawmill to be fashioned into boards without a vehicle. I mean, that's the kind of life my dad grew up in. To just do a few things for him. He was kind of proud of his appearance. He had gray hair in his head in his 80s, a coal black hair. And my dad's half Cherokee, and dark complected, high cheekbones. Didn't look like me at all. Looked more like my mom, I imagine. But he was proud of his appearance, and he asked me once, he says, "You know, I'm getting a little scraggly around the back of here, and your mom's tried, but do you think maybe you can take some scissors to this mop?" And I said, "Dad, I've never cut anybody else's hair. Never cut my own, really. Oh, just give it a try." So we put a towel or a sheet, I guess, a sheet around his shoulders, and I went to work. And it was one of the most satisfying things. You're absolutely right. You don't know what you'll be called on to do. And it might seem difficult or unfamiliar to you. But gracious, I look back at that moment that we shared while he was in a chair and I had scissors cutting his hair. And I will treasure that the rest of my days. Yeah, we're fortunate sometimes. In the middle of all of that, to find something that you can treasure. That's the miracle of this life. It truly is one of the miracles of this life. KK4JBQ.
Radio right now. I was just listening for there for a bit. Yeah, you're absolutely right there, Larry.
One other thing is after. Well, I better not get in that. But it was the funny thing is that the brothers. He has two brothers. They came around too, and it was just, I'm an only child. I don't have a perspective like a brother and sister. I don't have that to relate to. But just watching that whole process with her and the brothers and sisters that come around to help share that load. Was an amazing thing to witness too, you know. And now I'm starting to see that my mother is starting to suffer from that as well, and she lives in Piedmont, and I got a feeling it's going to be my turn, and I just hope that I can do the same thing that I've got to see my wife do, because she definitely set the example. I can tell you that. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. Here, I'm trying to do something on my dad's computer real quick.
So, on a lighter note, Larry, just gonna let you know that. You're talking about your dad carrying over to the sawmill and that sort of glad ship here. So I've got two sawmills here across the world. And I do a lot with my hands outdoors. So I've got a wood miser that I keep here on the property. One will handle up to a 30-inch log, and then the portable mill does, I think it's a 25-inch log, up to 14 feet long. But my granddad, when he was alive, he would come down and help me run the mill. He didn't actually help. He would just sit around and bark orders, you know. tell me what to do. But I mean, in a nice way. And we'd sit down and tell stories about him, you know, sawmill on the property when he grew up, and this, that, and the other, and things like that. But so he actually got me into Dutch oven cooking. So I'll go down in the mornings, and I usually wait till it's cold weather, because, you know, sawing lumber's kind of hard, hot work, and so I wait till it gets cold and build a fire and put a pot of beans or a chicken in the Dutch oven or whatever, you know. And sometimes Anna comes down, she can make pineapple upside down cake in the Dutch oven. And boy, I'm gonna tell you, there's nothing like being around that sawmill and smelling that fresh sawdust, or that smell of the trees coming off the mill, and working up until lunchtime and having, you know, a chicken or beans or whatever, and just, I mean, there's nothing like it.
JBQ, it would take a third person to let both of you know that you doubled there in the beginning, Chad. And maybe I'll stand aside here while Fred fills us in on, I could just barely make out what you were saying, Chad, for half of your transmission. And Fred, I didn't hear anything that you had to say. KK4JBQ.
I'm so sorry for that. I realized I were double with them, but I didn't realize I was hitting the repeater that bad or that much. Holy cow. Wow, I'm not used to this radio yet, but I'm sorry about that. Chad, I heard the other half of your message there. I understand what you're saying there.
I'll make sure I got it. I was saying, Larry, was that you were talking about your dad and carrying logs to the mill, and I was saying that I've got two sawmills here on the property. One is portable, and my granddad would come down and help me run the mill, and, you know, basically just bark orders, but in a nice way. And so when cold weather comes, I'll fire the meals up, and he actually got me into Dutch oven, cooking in Dutch ovens. So I'll go to the mill in the mornings and build a small fire with coals, and put a pot of beans or a chicken, and Anna's gotten really good at making pineapple upside down cake in a Dutch oven. And I'll work until, you know, about lunchtime, and stop and take a break and eat a pot of beans or a chicken and rice or something like that. But that's quite an experience to smell the smoke and the food and the pine sap coming off of the logs. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're tired, and that's a really good feeling, you know, to have good work like that, and something that will really make you rest at night. But I don't know why I brought that up. I guess when you mentioned that your dad used to haul logs out to the mill, that was, I don't know, I guess kind of like a little flashback there, because it sounds a lot like my granddad and my dad.
Gentlemen, but I'm actually here. I'm starting to be pestered by my sister. Let me go ahead and let you guys go. This is KO4AD73, gentlemen. I hope you guys have a great night. I'll see you guys around.
Sure. appreciate the QSO, KO4NUE, and I'll be clear with you.
NNH, KK4JBQ, Nighty Night.
Indian Raid Larry, I'm on drop on out of here. I just wanted to make sure everything was good and make sure you got my email. I was a little bit worried, but I guess I won't make that mistake again, and I'll leave it at that. But at any rate, appreciate you, and appreciate you sharing with me and staying up late at nights and whatever, and I hope we're not bothering anybody else by talking so much, but at any rate, just want to let you know thank you so much for all your help and all you do, and this is Kilo Oscar 4 November Uniform Echo. Larry, and I'll be clear on your final, sir.
KK4JBQ. Your email, I suppose I would understand where you were coming from, but nothing. There was no reason for your concern to that level, no reason at all, and I appreciate how you may have taken the whole thing, but truly. The best way to share information I found, because I've subscribed to groups on Group.io, that's group.io, that's the URL, to ongoing conversations that are archived. And the conversations are moderated, so a lot of effort is put into this to make it good for everyone involved. So I've joined groups that talk about several rigs that I have, and about antennas that I'm interested in. The magnetic loop is still a mystery to me. And, well, several things. I belong to several groups, and you get a digest of what's going on. If you're a member, you can contribute to the group if it's a part of a conversation you'd like to join into. And as I said, everyone can read the comments. Everyone benefits. It's highly organized. It's safe, if I can use that word in this regard. I would recommend it to you. There's all kinds, believe me, all kinds of groups that this site manages to the benefit of everybody. It's a good thing. Well, so we've talked about some marvelous things. Do send me the link we spoke of. I'd be interested to listen to that recorded conversation. And, gracious, it's 11 o'clock. Everyone have a good night. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, I'm clear.
It's in your inbox, Larry. Just want to let you know. And I'm going to leave you with this little story. So, day before yesterday, I was in the radio room talking on radios, and I've got two radios side by side, and I was trying to sign in to check into some, I think it was South Cars or South Carolina Single Sideman, and I kept putting my call out there to check in alphabetically, and the net controller would not respond to me putting my call out there, and I had the wrong hand mic in my hand, and my wife was standing behind me, just giggling, and she never said a word. She just let me keep on pushing that mic, knowing that I was not talking on the right radio. So she's been on me for the last 2 days. But I'm watching her. She's gonna make the same mistake, and I'm gonna get her when she does. This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo. Have a nice night, Larry.
Dad, you got me laughing. KK4JDQ.